I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this time-honored broadcast from my dad, Pastor Salem, in this series on Joseph. Today's message, From Rags to Riches, points out that no matter what happens in our lives, don't forget God. Put your faith in Him. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And today we got a sermon. We're studying about Joseph this month. And today we got a sermon entitled, From Rags to Riches. And can he handle those riches? Most people can't. And so we're going to look at that. But before we do that, I want to share some of the letters. And we get letters from you, and you like to hear the letters. See where people are and what they're thinking and what they're asking. So, and get your pencil and paper, because then I'll give you the address, and you can write a letter. And won't that be something? Well, the first one is from Aberdeen, South Dakota, right here in town. This lady writes, I love your sermons and watch you every week. A couple of weeks ago, I prayed with you asking Jesus to forgive my sins. I cried and took Jesus as my Savior. It's such a comfort to talk with him every day. Thank you for all you do. And I called this lady and she came into the office. We had a wonderful visit and a time of prayer. And during the service, as I asked the word, gave you the words to pray, she prayed right along with me, and she found peace and joy, and she's rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. That's what we want for every one of you. You got to have Jesus, because he's the only way to God. Here's Stillwater, Minnesota. Oh, here's one. Grab your purses, all you people. Listen to this. This week, you spoke about the curse and blessings of money. And tithing 10%. My husband and I had a good long talk after the service. This check is part memorial and part tithing. We are on it now. We're thanking God for using you to speak to us what we needed to hear. And that's what you need to hear is that God expects us to give 10%. If we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we put him first and we give 10%. And then we give to offerings beyond that. And you know, some people all say, I don't know about that. Well, listen to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. And God says this, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. A tithe belongs to the Lord. And you say, oh, it's hard times. Friend, let me tell you something. I'm a child of the Depression. You don't know what hard times are. You say, you don't know how poor I am. You don't know what it is to be destitute. But my dear old mother, every penny we gave, every dime she got, 10% went to the Lord. And that's what you ought to do. Now, you know, you get mad and you get upset, and that's just fine. You just pout around all you want. I'm just telling you what God has to say. If you don't like it, tell him. Here's Forest Grove, Oregon. Thank you for telling the true message of our wonderful Bible. Jesus, come into my heart. No man cometh to the Father but by me, John 14, 6. And listen to what she said. I received Jesus 47 years ago with just that prayer. There's some people say, oh, you got to do this, and you got to take training, you got to jump through this hoop, and you got to have that lesson before you accept Jesus. Listen, I accepted Jesus the first time I had the invitation given. I have accepted Jesus 10 years old. And here this lady, here's 47 years ago, and this is what she prayed. Jesus, come into my heart. Yeah, that's it. You know why some people make it hard? Because the devil wants us to make it hard. He wants you to put it off, wants you to worry about it. You just pray, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart, and I promise I'll serve you the best I can. And then thank him. And that's it. Go on your way rejoicing. Here is, Rapid City, South Dakota. You changed my life and my family's lives. Now, I didn't do it. It's the Word of God that did it, so keep that straight. In 1998, when I was 31 years old, I was baptized with my father and older brother. Your sermons were the words my father needed to understand how a relationship with Jesus. Until he heard your sermons, he didn't truly believe. Thank you for your teachings each week, and we will all continue to listen and learn from you. And so here it is. He was baptized and everything, but he wasn't saved until he prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart. That's what you got to do. And I'm going to tell you, here's a man, he's accepted the Lord, and he's born again. And it was because you prayed and you gave. And you just get your pencil out. I'm going to tell you how you can give and how you can get some information if you're not a Christian and how you can live the Christian life. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us if you want literature on being saved, or if you're a Christian and you're drifting away, you want to come back, or if you want to make a gift, and whatever you do, you just write to us. We'll be love to hear from you and maybe read your letter. Who knows? But God will just tell us what we just take what we think God wants us to do. Well, now then, let's look at Joseph. And Joseph here is entitled From Rags to Riches. And we've all agonized with Joseph. We've seen him derided and abused by his 10 brothers. We've seen him sold into slavery. We've seen him purchased in Egypt by Potiphar and the captain of the Pharaoh's guard. We see him interpret Pharaoh's dream with God's help. We see Pharaoh elevate him to the second highest position in all of Egypt. And that makes the slave man a tremendously rich man, just like that. And that is where we take him up today, from rags to riches, from the pit to the palace. Joseph has some fierce temptations in his life. He had one with Potiphar's wife. But the fiercest temptation now is going to come when he's rich, when he's got money. Clarence McCartney put it so well. He says, Joseph is now to be tried by prosperity. That's a greater trial than adversity. The man who has fallen heir to a fortune is in greater moral peril than the man who has lost one. So let's look at this matter of riches. Sometimes prosperity becomes deceiving. Some people think that money and riches are the answer to all their problems. They are convinced that if they had enough money, they had lots and lots of money, they would be happy no matter what. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. Wealth is not the answer to happiness. What good is a $500,000 house if it isn't a home? What good is a $1 million ring if there is no love? And so God instructs his pastors, those of us who shepherd God's flock, this is what he says in 1 Timothy 6, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That is, you can have your treasures in heaven as you serve the Lord and walk with the Lord. God bless him. Joseph was not deceived by riches. He was surrounded by them, but he never took his eyes off of God. He never let the glitter of the gold take out the presence of God, that beautiful God that stands above all things. Prosperity didn't even so much as touch Joseph. Sometimes prosperity makes people forget God. I've seen that more than once in my ministry of 72 years. I've seen them when they were dirt poor and they were in church praying. I've seen them come into wealth, into money, and get their big car, and they're gone. And it went to their head, and they lived away, and they were no longer in church. Now here's Joseph. He never did that, though he was rich, rich, rich. Yet he never forgot his God, and he never forgot service to God. Some people forget God. Some people, when they have prosperity and become wealthy, they become proud. Boy, have I ever seen that act. Somebody prospers. Maybe they attribute their success, and they attribute their success to themselves. And what they call, and they call them a self-made man, and he worships his own creator. So they attribute to themselves, they are smart, they are clever, they are skilled beyond words. It just wonders how God could put all those brains in that little pinhead of theirs. And they take all of it to themselves. They have done that. Now, if you feel that way, I have a little test for you. It's called the brick test. And I'll tell you how it works. You walk under the scaffolding of some bricklayer, and you let him drop a brick on your pinhead. And you see how smart you are as you lie there in the gutter with a concussion, hearing whistles and bells and flickering lights and flashes. And while you're trying to uncross your cross-eyed eyes, see how smart you are then, Buster. You have prospered for material. It is begun a trust from God. And if you've made wealth, you have wealth, it's a gift from God. He's allowed you to make it, unless you've gotten it unlawfully, cheating your employees, cheating on your tax, playing the lottery of all the way wicked things in the world, buying lottery tickets. You shouldn't spend a penny on them. You're trying to get something for nothing, and that's no way to live. Well, then God is, and it's not God if you get it that way. In Joseph's case, it was a gift from God. How did he handle it? His heart only grew bigger. God became more real to him. And though he was one of the richest men on earth, yet he never forgot his God. Well, sometimes prosperity makes people forget their old friends. You know, the people they knew in poverty, now they become rich, and we struggle for a living. They become rich. I remember a lady I knew, went to school with her, and here she is just as bad, poor as we were, and we were so poor, the poor people called us poor. Didn't have a thing to our name. And she married a doctor, and she got all kinds of wealth, and she quit talking to me. Just got her snoot up into the air. And sometimes people do that. They forget their old friends. But that never happened to Joseph. Here he is with wealth. He is now the prime minister of one of a powerful world empire. He's living in splendor. He's second only to the king. People bow down to him when he rides through the city, and it takes his charioteer takes him through the city. And as his chariot goes by, the people bow down. And I can imagine Joseph clothed in fine linen, wearing the king's signet ring, and the servants all over the place waiting through his beck and call. Will Joseph forget his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Never. Not for a moment. He was still the Hebrew man from Hebron. Though Egypt had given him everything, he definitely was not Egyptianized. Egypt was given him famous beyond description. He married a daughter of the Egyptian high priest. His own Hebrew name was changed to an Egyptian name, Zephnapaneah. And he had two sons. And when the sons were born, he called the first one Ephraim. And he said, did he forget God? Ephraim means God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God is there in his firstborn. And in the second one, son Manasseh. And what does he name him? And Manasseh means God hath made me forget all my toil. And the record adds, and all my father's house. And when you read the story, you'll plainly see Joseph had not forgotten his father. He never forgot his father. He forgot a lot of things. He forgot the hard things of life. He forgot how the hatred of his brothers. He forgot how they stripped this coat of many colors from him. He forgot how that he had been abandoned in a cistern and all the vermin. He forgot the angry eyes and voices of his brothers. He forgot the slavery. He forgot the prison. He forgot the sorrow. He forgot the awful, frightful sins of his all of his brothers. He had forgotten all of that, but he hadn't forgotten his father. Oh, no, his father and Benjamin and his brothers. All the wealth of the world, but he never forgot. Standing and beholding, he sees what all of the beautiful things he has about him, the beautiful palm trees of Egypt and the water wheels and the temples and the red sandstone and the colossal pyramids and all of the glory and splendor of it all. And all the while, the grand and glorious things fade away. And he doesn't see that anymore. Now he sees a little village in Hebron. He sees the black goat hair tents of his brothers. He sees the white dots of the flock of sheep out on the fields. He sees the beautiful hills of Judea. He sees the ancient gnarled oaks of Mamre. And he says to himself, does my father still live? Or does he sleep now in the cave of Machpelah by the side of Abraham and Isaac? And my brother Benjamin, is he alive? Here is Joseph, prime minister of Egypt, rich and powerful beyond description, second only to Pharaoh. With prosperity, in all of that prosperity, will he forget his family? Not for a moment. He doesn't forget his family, and he doesn't forget his God. Put all the money you want, put all the world money of the world, and you'll never turn the eyes of Joseph. Not a bit. And I can tell you something else. His father, Jacob, didn't forget Joseph either. And I bet you every day old Jacob thought about Joseph. He would never forget his son. He thought he'd been killed and gone, but he never forgot his son. Clarence McCartney has a little article, and he says that he thinks that maybe Jacob, after everybody was out with the sheep, he would take out a little old black box, he'd open it up, and there was that part, remnant of that coat of many colors, and he would put that colors, and he would think of Joseph and cry about Joseph, and then he would put that back, and then he would take out a scarlet scarf that Rachel used to wear. That Rachel that he loved so much, and he would kiss it like he kissed her the first time he saw her at the Mesopotamian well. He would pray, and he would think, and he would put it away, and he would say, Jacob. Jacob would say, oh, Joseph, oh, Rachel. Oh, they never forgot. But that's not all bad when these things come upon us. It's not if the sorrows of life makes us better people, I'm going to tell you, friend. And if we allow them to, but they can make us bitter and angry with God when things don't go right. Or it can make us better people if we allow it. And it's up to us what these circumstances of life are going to do to us. It isn't God. The same sun that melts the butter hardens the putty. And you can be what you want to be. The sun is there, the circumstances are there, and you can make good or you can make evil. It's up to you, all you. The sorrows of life make us thankful for the wonderful memories of bygone days. The sorrows of life make us considerate of others because we're more sensitive to the need of other people. Sorrows of life make us more forgiving because we're all remember then we're poor old lost sinners saved by the grace of God. And we deserved hell, but he's going to give us heaven. And we think of that, and it makes the sorrows of life make us more dependent on God. And we put all in his arms. No, 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 no. Never in his prosperity, never so much as phased Egypt of Joseph. He never forgot God. He never became proud. He never forgot his family. And though he had the wealth of the world in his hands, yet his heart was touched. And he was thinking of his family and his God. What a great man. He could handle it. And so today, not in ancient Egypt, to be sure, we live in the same old world, and we have the same temptations and trials, and they're the same as they were with Joseph. And I wonder if we're going to make as good a lot of them as Joseph did. The allurement of riches are here just the same as they were with Joseph. The intoxication of power and being strong and ruling over others, that comes to us just as it came to Joseph. The lust of the flesh was there with Joseph, and it's with us today just as it was with Joseph. And out of all of these fights, the believer today, it behooves us to be as dedicated as Joseph and bring glory to God by loving God and serving God. You can live above it, but you have to have the help of Jesus Christ. And if the arm of the flesh will fail you, and you're going to fall flat unless you have the arm of flesh, unless you forsake the arm of flesh, you have the Spirit of God within you. And you never have the Spirit of God within you until you receive Jesus Christ, because then the Spirit comes to dwell within, and he will be with us forever. That's why you can't go to hell, because the Holy Spirit is with us forever. So Joseph goes from rags to riches. Joseph had just been taken from that stinking prison. He's shaven and unkempt. He was just in a terrible mess. And now here he is, riding as a king. That makes me think of the thief on the cross. You remember when Jesus was crucified? That thief on the cross, there he was. And he was a man, he was just as wicked as he could be. He was there because he was a wicked man. And yet this man on the cross, he's thinking, here's a terrible prison. He's probably a murderer. And there he's hanging on the cross. And then he looks to Jesus. And he asks Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. that he put his faith in Jesus. Jesus said he was going to have a kingdom, and there he is dying on the cross, and this one thief, he says, take us down. But this repentant thief, he believes in Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Today, you're going to be in paradise. You're on the cross. You're dying on the cross. You're going to be walking on the streets of gold. You're going to be standing by the river of life. You're going to be among the saints of God. You're going to see God in all of his glory. You're going to happen to you today. And that's what he's saying to you today. You're in that body, and that body's going to pieces, and it's going to die, and it's going to be destroyed, and it's going to be gone. And you need to come to Christ, and you need to be taken out of the prison of this body and set free by the Spirit. And that comes when you receive Jesus. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And you say, I want to receive him, but I don't know how. Let me tell you how. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And that's what you have to do. You say, dear Jesus, I have the feeling, I just know you want to come into my life. You want to save me from this sin. I'm in this prison. I'm in this dungeon. I'm in this hellhole, and I want to be free. And you said, please come into my heart and take away my sins. Just in your own words, don't get fancy. The thee and the thou, forget that. Dear Jesus, I'm a terrible sinner. Ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So dear Jesus, I'm a terrible sinner. Ask you to come into my heart, take away my sin. I'll serve you the best I can. I'll make you the Lord of my life. And then I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. Amen. And you know, I prayed with a man not too long ago, and he didn't know anything about prayer. He just told him he was a sinner. Asked Jesus to come in his heart. He didn't say amen. He didn't know you're supposed to say amen. He says, goodbye. That's fine. God's looking at the heart. And you can pray that and you can say that. Now, if you did that, you write to us and we'll send you some literature to help you get started in the Christian life. But maybe you've drifted away from the Lord. You once walked with the Lord. Maybe you were a pastor, maybe a Sunday school teacher, and you got into some sin and you drifted away and you're way off yonder like the prodigal son. And if you come back, you'll find out God has his arms wide open and he'll take you to himself. And you say, I got to clean up first. No, don't clean up. Don't get ready. Come just the way you are. He'll clean you up after you get saved. That's a process that takes place later. And so maybe you drifted away and you come to Jesus. And then we always think of all of you folks that are our shut-ins, and some of you are on beds of sickness and some of you are paralyzed. We have a dear, dear lady that worships with us, paralyzed from the shoulders down. But she has a face on her like an angel, and she just is smiling and happy because Christ lives in that body. And that body won't always be paralyzed. When that Christ comes again, there'll be a new resurrected body like the beautiful resurrected body of Jesus Christ. But you have to have Jesus. And so all of you that are shut-ins and those of you who are lonely, and those that you're hurting, and you lost your loved one, and you lost a child, lost your spouse, you just put your faith in Jesus. Continue watching Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus. Forget what Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark. In other words, he says, I'm forgetting all the past. All my sins are under the blood of Christ. God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1, verse 18. And when you take Jesus, you're cleansed and you're pure. And you shut-ins, just remember, your sins are washed away and your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's with you and he says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. I will be with you to the end of the age. And Jesus Christ always keeps his word. You say, I don't feel anything. You don't need to feel anything. You just have to accept him. It's a covenant you make. It's a covenant. It's a contract you make. He says, if you call on me, I'll save you. You call on me, open the door, I'll come in. That's a contract. You open your life, I'll come into your life. and maybe you'll feel joy and maybe you won't, and maybe you'll be happy and maybe you won't, but as the time will come as you walk with the Lord, there it'll be. So we just want to thank you all for worshiping with us today, and I want to share something. We need your help. If you want to help us, we need it now. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And we had to pay our bills just like anybody else. And you say, well, I don't know if we send money and I don't know how you'll spend it. Maybe you'll buy a new car. Well, we've got that all covered. We are a member of what they call the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization. They check every dollar we get and they check every dollar we spend. And it all goes exactly where we say it'll go. It goes in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we need to have your help. Now you see maybe some part of the world. Say, I wish I could give, but I can't. I don't know where they have the address. You get the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send a gift over that. And then you have the what we call the little booklet, a little paper called, we have a new song. Say, we like the new song. So now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your people. And dear Heavenly Father, today we just pray for them wherever they are, whoever they are. And we pray for the persecuted church. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Kenya. Oh God, give them grace and strength, and we know you will. And help them to see that the glory of God is the most wonderful thing we can have. And someday we're going to be with you. And it's worth dying for, living for, and dying for. And so just bless them and help them to know what we think about them and pray for them. And all over the world, we're praying for brothers and sisters in Kenya this day. And so now we thank you, Lord. Thank you for those who opened their doors. Thank you for the wonderful Word of God. The Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God that's going to abide forever. Long after this earth is gone, the stars and the moon and the sky, all gone, the Word of the Lord will stand forever. Thank you for that wonderful, precious Word. In the Savior's name we pray, amen. I'm always happy when the weekend comes around and we can be with you all. We've been in this now for, I guess, about 38 years. A lot of our people are already with the Lord in heaven. They've gone on. I can't wait to meet them. And I can't see you, and though you can see us here on television, but shortwave, they can't see us anymore, and we can see them. But when we get to heaven, we'll have plenty of time in eternity, and we'll all get together, and won't we have a time? And the best of all, Jesus will be there. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.